event providing a world-class interdisciplinary forum on global sustainable development for practitioners and academics. And it's in cooperation with the Harvard School of Public Health, the Harvard School of Education, Carnegie Mellon University, and the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, and also Harvard University's Kennedy School of Government. And it's going to be, there's going to be an opening keynote on Saturday, tomorrow at 8:30 a.m. at Tubman 5th Floor Nye Conference Center. And it's going to feature Dr. Kyung Wha Kang, UN Deputy High Commissioner for Human Rights. And you have to register online, I think, for it, but it should be really amazing to go to. And that's all the events that I have to announce for you today. But I'm going to play some music, and then we'll be off. But
don't we like to remind... Yes.
We do. First, we'd like to remind you that...
Just for the reminder, Freud.
That the event...
The views and the opinions expressed on this show
do not necessarily represent those of WMBR, MIT, or the Technology Broadcasting Corporation.
Exactly.
Yes. So here's some music for you.
Goodbye.
See you next week.
An ti lode ka fe chou, gadi m le arrive.
Oui, oui, se le plonge.
E pi ou la ka souri, an lo tendres ou ka chay.
Jouve, ne se ti se pa agri.
Me foutou bel e foutou douce, ni dele mwen ka mande mwen. Imonye ou le mwen pati, le ou ka pase douvan mwen.
Santi mwen te kire te la, se la.
Mi se la,
mwen se le de te la mbantou.
Biringo,
mwen te kire la.
Mwen se rete,
mbante le asis mbantou.
Mi se la, mi se la.
Troubadour, it's blues, bluegrass, and vintage folk. It's 1950s country and rhythm and blues. Troubadour plays roots music without bounds or barriers. Thursday, 2 to 4 p.m. at WMBR, Cambridge.
You leave so lonely, you could die.
فمرحبا في Music for Human. I'm a Dr. Jalis Sakran and I welcome you. I have with me today Ivan the Mellow. Ivan, welcome.
Здравствуйте.
Ivan is a former Siberian expatriate. So to those of our listeners who are listening for the first time, Music for Humans is New Age Talk Radio with an emphasis on you. So the purpose is not really about Ivan and I disseminating our New Age philosophy. It's really about connecting with those of our listeners who are willing to interface. We reach our voices and our spirits like yo-yos into the world, and we throw them out and they roll right back after a suitable sleep time where the yo-yo spins around an axle, finally collecting those treasures and retrieving other yo-yos to connect with us. I suppose that's where the analogy would end. In Siberia, Ivan, do children play with yo-yos as they do here?
Not really.
Due to the expense?
That's correct.
So what do children play with?
Children play with sticks and instruments they find around the house.
Spoons and knives.
Not knives.
Not knives. Scissors. Rice.
Rice pudding.
Rice pudding.
Instead of patty.
Of course. Of course. Well, it's a simpler world. You know, the people are simpler and more willing to experiment with.
But also the simplicity ties them with the depths of nature.
The depths of nature. Yeah, when I was a child, I had toys, and when I ran out of toys or I grew bored of the simple toys, I would eat the bugs that I found, and they were, as you say, part of the depths of nature, the internals. They were there, they were in front of me, and looking at them, I grew to appreciate an understanding that all of the things that I encountered were created by the same hand, and it gave me a great appreciation for meaning in the universe and some depths to the smallest and the largest of things.
All is one, and one is all.
Yeah, precisely, in a very, very compact phrasing.
Dr. Jalis, I have a question about transdermal mediation. In particular, how do you go about cultivating the sense of inner peace? What are the starting points? What are the tools that allow you to
enter and delve deeply within the understanding and the spirits?
That's correct.
Well, there are many tools. One of the most basic but more crude tools is to use an instrument to simply penetrate the skin, and thereby really one is able to feel what is underneath there and to connect with the underdermis. But few are prepared to experience such invasion, and many prefer to experience the mediation with less invasive procedures, so like laying on of hands, burning, the pouring of wax, other techniques along those lines, rubbing of stones.
Is there a cleansing ritual?
Oh, absolutely. Actually, that's an excellent point. Many people come to me and they say, Dr. Sakran, I need your help, and why don't you mediate to my under self? And I look and I realize that, you know, I'm unable to commune with them, and I realize that there is a layer of real estate on top of their outer dermis that has to be scraped and removed if one is to commune.
You mean fat?
No, I mean dirt. I mean real estate. No, I've never had any difficulty communing with, you know, large or obese people I am, as you can see, quite portly myself.
Have you tried transdermal mediation with a pachyderm?
Never with a pachyderm. I have with animals in general, but I have mediated transdermally with a chihuahua and with a poodle. And I have dissected many animals in order to truly experience an understanding of them that is not really possible otherwise. Have you yourself experienced with the laying on of hands and the being poked with various sharp things?
Transdermal mediation is something that I aspiring to, but at the moment, unfortunately, I don't believe I have the right state of mind. And instructions to be able to partake in that festival of inner spiritual peace.
Have you experimented with methods of divination and self-communing that do not involve physical interface?
Vibrations.
You've experimented with vibrations, like self-vibration or vibrating another?
Both.
Have you experimented with casting arrows or using tarot cards?
Not extensively, no.
Are there divination methods in the natural culture in Siberia?
Mutual self-vibration.
And I assume this also aids with the propagation of the species?
Yes.
Now, in my part of the world, casting of arrows is a very common method of divination. People also will write messages on paper and burn the paper. People will experiment with exorcists just for entertainment, but occasionally also out of need. Now, isn't that strange that people would actually experiment with exorcism for entertainment?
I think that's quite natural.
Oh, really? I mean, I suppose you are right. It's by nature we are curious, but the idea that one would willingly play host to a dangerous demon is somewhat terrifying to me.
Well, that's part of spiritual enlightenment.
The risk.
The risk and the anticipation of danger.
Well, let's see if we can connect with our listeners in a more physical way. If anyone would like to call in, our number is 617-253-8810. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
You guys sound like dangerous demons.
Dangerous demons?
Yeah.
Is this Robert?
Unnatural dangerous demons.
But, I had a colleague many years ago who experimented with calling a demon and placing it within his hand.
Electricity? Well, how are you conditioned?
I use generic conditioner. Let's add a voice, a voice to this with us, Robert.
Yeah, have another MIT person call up.
Hello?
No, caller two, please.
Hey, cocksucker!
Yo, what up? Hello?
Well, unfortunately, seems to be a man yelling obscenities, which we are unable to play host to.
Hey, hobsnobbler.
So, Robert, have you experimented with calling upon spirits?
Calling upon what?
Spirits.
What now?
Spirits.
Everybody has electricity in their head. I don't know how that's connected.
Well, like casting that electricity out into the world like a yo-yo and retrieving more than you sent out. Like yo-yoing into the mud.
All right.
It's a risky thing. I had, as I was saying, I had a colleague who called the spirit into his hand and was unable to extricate it for many years until he visited an exorcist of some repute and was able to have it removed.
Okay.
At great expense.
That sounds pretty ridiculous. I really have nothing else to say other than you guys sound like dangerous demons.
Have
a good night.
Okay. Well, my salama, Robert. Let's take in another voice. Caller two.
Hey, Dick.
Well, I'm not sure what to do about that. As I said, we cannot have obscenities.
Part of the problem is a magnetic storm raging today. The vibrations are not aligned.
It's always risky trying to do any sort of electrical transmission. Our operator is indicating that our caller is calling again. Let me go off the air and speak to them personally. Let's do a brief reading. See whether or not this electrical storm will subside. If only Aurora were here to interpret the cards for us. So I drew the four of swords, the chariot, and the magician. Operator indicates we have another caller. Let's try again and hope for the best. Caller, you are on the air. Caller? Caller?
Yes.
Oh, welcome.
Thank you.
So are you feeling the vibrations today, Connor?
It's a difficult vibration today.
certainly is. We were having some difficulty with it just a moment ago.
Lots of static in the atmosphere.
Yeah, lots of negativity.
Lots of unpleasant.
It's hard to be positive when you can't see the sun and you walk outside and it rains upon you. Caller, I don't know if you are in the Boston area, but it's certainly a dreary day here.
Mm, indeed, I am in Boston. Very hard. It tries the soul.
And how do you cope?
How do I call?
How do
I cope?
How do you cope?
Oh, well, I just participate in the circle. I just, you know, submit to the circle.
Indeed, it makes it easier.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
I'm concerned about the circle. The circle seems to be tested lately.
Yeah, indeed, and it swells and it waxes and wanes, you know, so to speak. But it always remains a circle.
Sometimes it seems like a donut instead of a circle.
Like a torus?
No, a donut.
Like a donut. In what sense?
Well, it's
like an annulus?
Sweet on the outside, but on the inside, it's empty.
So, well, a donut is not empty, really, unless it's hollowed.
Of course. Well, only real donuts are hollow. The later donuts.
And the donuts.
Film donuts are not really donuts, they're imposters.
The which donuts?
Filled donuts. Donuts without holes.
Oh, I see what you mean. Well, I mean that if you were to take a cylinder that was filled, that you wouldn't call that something with a hole. Right? But and if you connect the ends of the cylinder together, it does not add a hole. Do you see what I mean?
With effort.
Yeah.
I see your wisdom. I see why you conduct the circle and I.
Well, I don't really think of myself as conducting the circle, but I do feel like a facilitator here. So, caller, do you ever cast your spirit out like a yo-yo into the world?
Yo-yo is not the toy I generally think of when I do it.
And what toy, then, comes to mind?
I think of more of a slinky.
A slinky, but still it has this idea that it comes back. It's not gone.
Yes, but I don't like strings. And yo-yos have strings. And I find strings very constricting.
I think Matryoshka is more of a fitting image, actually, here. Peeling layers of onions, finding the inner self, the true spiritual being.
Have you ever wondered why onions make us cry? Do we feel so guilty depriving an onion of its skin? Let's bring another voice in, if we can. Caller 2, welcome to the air.
Well, thank you. Thank you, and blessings to the circle. And I just, what I'm experiencing, I kind of touched in when you talked about donuts, and I felt kind of connected with donuts, and especially a jelly donut, where there's substance on the inside. And my spirit toy is the swing. I feel connected most spiritually when I'm on a swing, swinging back and forth.
Hmm. That's a wonderful image there. That really speaks something about you. The swing, of course, is larger than the person playing with the swing. But I hope all of us notice the common thread between all of our spirit toys, which, as the caller refers to them, that they are all oscillatory. That they go back and forth, and just as we do spiritually.
And they're different too, one from another, but yet we are still connected by a circle of love and light.
It's a beautiful image there. I imagine also that one person's energy feeds into the energy of all the vibrations.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, what an image. And do you actually imagine yourself on the swing, or do you simply imagine the swing swinging?
I literally go out to the park and sit on a swing and swing back and forth. And it's actually quite pleasant. It's a little too cold to do it right now, but I try to find a swing that doesn't have one of those kind of sagging rubber straps, but has a real board to kind of support my bottom chakra. When I was a child, I used to swing back and forth as high as I could get, and then I would my friends and I would take turns jumping out of the swing.
Have you ever managed to go over the swing?
Physically, I never did, but I think that by trying and trying and trying as a young disciple, that my soul actually was practicing to actually be ejected. Even the times that I didn't physically jump from the swing, I think my energy pattern started to leave my body at that point in my youth.
Let's bring another toy into this. Caller 5, welcome to the air.
Victor Jale.
Welcome.
How are you?
Oh, I'm well.
Today's. What you are talking about is really interesting. And it seemed that all of us, I mean, if we are using the swing to swing or the yo-yo, the spring, all of it, of course, as you said, it has the same idea.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want to add is we are scared to go. I mean, to leave our oscillatory. I mean, we want to combine ourselves within this oscillation, and we are scared to leave because that maybe remind us of death. We don't want to go to infinity. We want to go within this parabolic structure that we are oscillating.
And this seems to be just what the other caller was referring to, that he imagines himself ejecting from the swing ultimately. Is the caller still with us?
Yes, yes.
And so you imagine yourself actively ejecting from the swing?
Well, at first it was imagination, and then when I cut back a little bit on some medications I was taking, I actually could kind of feel my aura just streaming back and forth, and it didn't really seem like an imagination at that point. And I know that might sound just like it's crazy, but I've really had visualizations of spirit just soaring, and it was just so pleasant.
Are you thinking perhaps of a pogo stick?
What?
A pogo stick.
Yeah, that's another bouncing kind of thing. I have tried the pogo stick, but it was more difficult for me because my legs are just slightly different length, and I would tend to tip over to one side.
Mm-hmm. But
stick is very good for some people. I think that spirit toys, you know, really, really, we all should choose our own, and it should be one that we really enjoy, so that we can continue to do our spiritual work with our toy.
And the engineer is indicating that I should remind our callers, please, to turn down your radios. We're getting a little bit of feedback in the studio. Yeah, but the idea there of the spirit toy is like the idea of the avatar. This idea of some object that you use to help guide your meditation and to lead it towards something, so that you can really understand it.
Yes, very profound, very important too.
Mm-hmm.
Very.
Because otherwise, you may be, as the other caller mentioned, you may be afraid.
Well, yes, and it puts the body into an action, into a rhythm, and the soul just wants to follow along and play with that and explore, and so it really does help to get over the fear. Mm-hmm. Of sort of. Exploration and connection.
Precisely. Let's explore another caller as well. Caller 7, you are on the air.
Hello.
Hello, welcome.
Oh, I got cut off earlier. I had called earlier.
Oh, I'm sorry. So,
I'm happy to rejoin the circle.
Now you are the Slinky caller.
Slinky, exactly.
Have you actually now experimented with Slinkies, or is it simply as a visual guide or as a guide for your meditation?
Actual. I have a collection of Slinkies. I have both plastic and steel, depending on the energy that I wish to evoke.
Mm. So that's important too, that both of our callers have mentioned favoring particular materials in their spirit toys.
Oh. Paramount importance.
As a slinky man, you must also remember not to outstretch the slinky.
That's true. It's very important. And it's important that you remain grounded.
So there are many, many lessons here. Because we have in all of our toys, this idea that one must extend oneself beyond oneself, but that one should remain realistic and not overextend oneself, or one can become lost.
The great spiritual leader Vladimir Ilyich Lenin was a swinger, actually.
A swinger?
Yes.
Also about swings. And also that care must be taken in things even when they seem trivial. Although, ironically, The thing that must seem most crucial to the outsider, the choice of the toy, is perhaps least important.
The Hegelian dialectic is the most important part of the spiritual ebb and flow.
And what's always intrigued me about the swing is you could just sort of move your body back and forth without touching the ground, and the swing would move. And I've been unable to physically leave my feet by just rocking back and forth. But when I'm on a swing, I can rock back and forth, and I just, you know, really achieve some movement and some motion, and that sort of attracts me to an idea of a potential with just a simple process of swinging.
Have you tried doing it with a partner, perhaps?
With a butner?
Partner.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. Excuse me. I thought you said butner. I have done it on a porch swing. On a porch swing, and it was magnificent. On a porch swing, holding hands was probably one of the most memorable experiences I think I've ever had.
And so I'm not sure if I mean, I'm sure that that some of our listeners understand, but I think it's worth mentioning that Ivan DeMello refers to, he says that vibration is a very important aspect to his meditation. And so in this case, with the swing, I wonder if this means vibrating with a partner on a swing.
Sharing the bodily warmth is part of this dialectic.
The slinky is a very solitary meditation, I should say. It does not lend itself well to a partner.
The slinky.
But
maybe, now, we also notice that Ivan has not mentioned any choice of a toy, so I wonder if the partner serves as his toy.
An imaginary partner.
Well,
an obviously. Imaginary friend.
Yeah, but all of us have mentioned that our spirit toys are used spiritually and physically. That we use the slinky, for example, during meditation, and one just could imagine oneself casting that slinky out into the world to retrieve spiritual gems and beneficial experiences.
Oh, I see. May I ask Ivan a question?
Please.
What is a good size for an imaginary friend? I've heard they're quite useful. But do you pick the size, or does the imaginary friend pick you, and whatever size that friend is?
Well, it really depends. Some people have multiple imaginary friends, and sometimes it's the imaginary friend that picks you. It's difficult to understand. It's kind of mind-boggling. But as Dr. Sakran will tell you, part of transdermal mediation is being able to forget about physical, worldly things like measurements and size and what have you, and just go with the flow, with the oneness.
Is it possible that I could replace my cell phone with an imaginary friend?
You could replace yourself with any number of imaginary friends. How many voices, attenuated emotions do you have at any given moment within you is a determinant of the number of imaginary friends that might join you at any auspicious moment. And it's a great question, but again, we must stick to transdermal mediation.
And now I should mention that the transdermal aspect of the mediation is only one way. You know, these other guides, I think, are equally useful. It's a delicate procedure, but meditation can certainly be benefited by these guides.
Now, I mentioned the tools used in transdermal mediation. Is it just the needle, or do you actually...
Well, let's bring another voice in, and we can all discuss this. Caller 8, welcome to the air.
Hi. So you guys were talking about intelligence of animals before, and I just wanted to tell a story about one of my pets. I have a parakeet, and he has the ability to throw his voice when he's whistling. And sometimes when I'm carrying things, like fine china, the whistle, and it'll sound like the whistle is coming from inside me, from my stomach. And I know the bird knows what he's doing, and I always drop stuff, break stuff on the floor. So finally I had it put down, and I just wanted to know, like, do you guys have problems with animals kind of going after you? And
Well, I think we all have had problems with animals. Anyone that's really ever encountered an animal has had some difficulty. I think it must also be a problem, especially here for our friend Ivan, who uses imaginary friends to meditate. Let's bring a voice in as well, and another node. Caller, welcome.
Ah, marhaban, Mr. Begin.
Marhaban.
Referring to the solitary aloneness of using the slinky, I think that we can, those of us of a certain age group, can remember the advertisement campaign which stressed the, intersexual, intergender nature of the toy. And that it was intentionally marketed to girls and to boys, whereas they could have genderized the product, cutting their sales potentially. But not only did they say, when they said, it's fun for a girl or a boy, which they said twice, like this, it's fun for a girl or a boy, it's fun for a girl or a boy. But they also... Yes?
Can you get that? I had some static.
Should I repeat that?
You could.
Is that what you wanted? I was getting to a point here that not only did they point out that it could be used by girls and boys implicitly, but specifically a girl or a boy, not a girl and a boy. They did not say it's fun for a girl and a boy, or even that it's fun for boys or that it's fun for girls, but that is to be used by either gender. This is the binary gender days of the 60s.
Mm-hmm. So
but
no.
Alone, it's fun for a girl or a boy.
Well,
I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you very much.
Thank you, caller. I think that one of the interesting conclusions that we may make here is that
this makes you so horny. You know?
The advertisers were trying to prevent parents from buying a single slinky for 10 or 12 children, which is always possible.
It's a big family, yeah.
Yeah, but this was the 60s. So there were these large...
1860?
That's true. It's not that long ago, really.
Okay. I haven't lived in America for very long, so I don't, you know, no time.
So where are you from, Connor?
Well, Bangladesh is my alma mater of countries. Before that, Iceland.
You lived in Iceland. Let's take in another voice. Caller, welcome to the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Sorry, it's Slinky. I got cut off again.
Oh, welcome back, Mr. Slinky. Yeah, we are having some difficulty with our antiquated phone system here.
It's okay.
It's so sexual.
But Slinky, so were you able to hear the last caller's comment on the...
I was, and it was a very good point that he brought up. My point is, I think, the lesson of the slinky. The slinky teaches and is an important lesson. One is to always remain grounded, as we discussed.
Mm.
And the other is to only, at any one time, have one hand on the slinky.
And
you need the other hand to ground yourself.
Fall upstairs. Roll. Gotta keep rolling.
You need to be anchored. You need to keep one hand on the helm.
Yeah, just keep falling down those stairs.
Precisely, you don't want to lose yourself in mm-hmm. There is some...
Duality, you know.
Yeah, there is always a danger that one becomes lost in the sea of unity and neglects to maintain one's identity.
And then, you know, you got to use Viagra and Cialis. But
I think no medication could recover a lost identity.
Yeah. Except, like, you know.
Well, nothing off the counter.
Painkiller, yes. You're one with the gods.
Yes.
But there was, you know, in my frat, we have parties every once in a while, and, you know, we do the elephant walk and ookie cookie, if you know what that is. You know, it's a lot of fun. Sometimes we'll play slinky games, and this is marketed to teenagers and young adults. It's a sex slinky game. What you do is you lie on the stairs, you know, one person, and you let the slinky caress your body, you know, one by one as it goes down the stairs. And
a method. Unfortunately, caller, we're having some static issue there, but I think we understand the point. The point about slinky is not only a mean to improve your identity, but also as a mean to improve your relationship with others. Let's bring in another voice. Caller 9, welcome to the air.
My favorite part of the slinky is you all have to help me with this, but as I'm remembering, it sort of falls down the stairs about 6 or 7 inches, and then when the whole spring hits the top of its own coil, it throws itself over onto the and then starts a journey over to the next step. And I think the really exciting part to me is when the sideways momentum just causes it to throw itself over to the next step.
It's always wonderful to see. And there's a final point which I think is worth making, which is that all of these devices are used to convert energy from a kinetic form to a potential form stored in the toy in question.
We are forgetting about the hula hoop.
The hula hoop, yet another device. That is, but the difference there between the hula hoop and, for example, the slinky is that the slinky really stores energy in the coil, the winding coils, whereas the hula hoop is constantly revolving. There is always motion there. There is kinetic energy constantly being transferred from hip to hoop.
But you become the coil. That's the difference, the principal difference.
You become the coil.
Oh.
Well, callers, I'm sorry to inform you that we are just reaching the end of the hour.
Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Salaam alaikum.
Thank you, callers. My salam a both.
Desidanya.
Always astonishing how quickly it goes by. But like the yo-yo, music for human beings will return. Ivan, thank you once again for being on the air with us.
Не за что, my dear friend.
Music for human beings, like the yo-yo, returns Fridays at 7 p.m. And like the slinky, it has energies which are stored within it. Stay tuned for Hidden Gems in Plain Sight. Ma'a salama from WMBR 88.1 FM in Cambridge.
For safety.
Number one,
cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number two,
look first before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first, and bicyclists, stay out of the door zone.
Number three,
cross with the signal.
You are safest if you wait for a walk or green traffic signal.
Don't jaywalk. That's just walking into trouble.
Number four,
cars and bikes should stop for pedestrians in unsignalized crosswalks.
Be nice. Be legal. Be safe.
Brought to you as a public service by the Cambridge Bicycle Committee and this station.
Good evening, Boston, Cambridge, whoever may be listening, you are listening to WMBR, MIT's public radio station. I'm your host, Josh, and this is Hidden Gems in Plain Sight. I've proven to you it's not that hard to find good music if you know where to look. And I'm trying to show you where to look. Pretty much what we do on this show is try to show you some bands you may have heard of and heard on the radio, but songs you haven't, or maybe bands that you haven't heard of as well. Just kind of going a level beyond, level deeper than your usual commercial radio. I've got a fun set to start off the night. It's all music new to this year, which means it's pretty much all from the last 2-3 months that I haven't yet, that I've yet to play on the show yet. I've already played a lot of new stuff from this year. It just keeps coming in. This has already been a great year for music, and I have a feeling it might just keep getting better. Got a few bands for you here. Beirut, a band I've just started listening to, and happened to just get a record out in the last month or so as well. Beirut is the name of this guy goes under.